The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, wearing red, is Professor Heather Hill.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay.
Excellent. Is it a new sweater?
No.
Oh, because it's kind of nice.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's just very even colored. I like that. There's no, like, different, you know.
Colored.
Well, you know, like, the, you know, no houndstooth in it or no ash, like, you know, highlights or anything. It's just nice.
Well, thank you.
And I just saw the buttons, too. The buttons are nice.
It looks good on you.
You look great in red.
It does.
You have the matching red watch.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
It's quite fetching.
All these compliments, you're going to make her day.
I know.
I will quote one of my colleagues, since it was registration week. Was your week hell or was it super hell? Those were the choices I was given.
Yeah, well.
Just medium hell?
Oh, medium hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah. There are other reasons for the week being kind of hellish.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No. I mean, it's just, you know, our current student population.
Yeah.
It's just,
they are
very demanding.
Yes, they are. That's what I've heard.
Yep.
That's what I've been doing
all week.
They're
pulling and stretching us in multiple directions until, you know, we're like Gumby.
Saltwater taffy. You're saltwater taffy.
There you go.
Gumby.
The analogy continues.
We're like Elastigirl in The Incredibles.
Stop making me Gumby.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Continuing around the table, Professor Stephen Manning is here. So we heard the Gumby analogy. We heard Elastigirl as an analogy, Sweetwater Taffy. Yeah.
Elastigirl.
Well, what would you use as an analogy pulled in many directions?
Saltwater taffy.
Taffy works for you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, Cape Cod saltwater taffy.
I figured there'd be a little New England angle
there. Terrible for your teeth.
Well, you know, but does it really matter? Awful. It tastes great. Isn't the origin Atlantic City, if I remember correctly, or that general area?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There is no saltwater in saltwater taffy. It's just saltwater adjacent, from
correct,
what I understand. Yeah.
Because they started making it at the beach.
The Cape Cod, the coastal,
yes,
the coastal vibe
exactly,
they're going for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called that on the West Coast, too.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, that's good, because there's saltwater out there, too.
There's another ocean out there.
There you go.
Yeah. Professor Dave Chow is here.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Is all the fried rice gone?
As of this morning, yes.
Well, there you go.
So it took, what, a week?
That serves you at any meal, that's all I got to say.
Hey, I found out your wife actually got some.
She did.
I was shocked.
No, it was good.
I thought for sure it was going to pass by your boys. So.
No, Joe got a pork bun, so thanks for that. He was very much excited about that. I ate two hot dogs and half the fried rice you gave us, so...
Yeah. And Emmett is what, on the streets now? Or?
Oh, Emmett was out trick-or-treating, you know, what he's
right,
full of. Yeah, actually, it's just like candy, candy, candy. That's all he cared about. So, yeah, that was fun. Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us.
Hello, hello.
Through the sea of microphones, as per the usual.
Yes, the spider web.
How are you doing, Jim?
Good. How are you?
You know, super hell was my answer to the question, but
super
otherwise.
Super hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you'll get a good meal this evening, I guess.
Yeah,
I
mean...
We hope.
Well, we hope. We pray.
I love how you qualified it. Continuing around the table, wearing her fabulous No Kings shirt, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
I just love the cat, but then like you really got to pay attention. A little orange
with the crown
on it.
And the cat is kicking the orange, it looks like.
Next week I may be in Chicago. So
okay. For?
Regional Ethics
Bowl. Oh, Ethics Bowl.
Our team.
Got it. Ooh.
The first place team is not able to go.
Oh.
So Marty is checking to see if one of the other teams can go.
Okay. So. That's cool, though. It's you're doing the Lord's work, as we like to say in the Catholic Church. I think that's great. The pictures in online, the VN and everything, even though I know you only had a smattering of teams, there were a couple of my students who were on a couple of the different teams and said they had a great, great time.
Good.
They need to spread the word. That's what you got to do. Force them to make a new team next year, you know? So
we keep trying to spread the word. Well, you know, maybe we'll see next year if we get more teams.
That'd be great. Professor Dan Maggio is here. What's up, Dan?
Hi, Matt.
How are things on the other side of Berkeley, Halloween night?
Good. Actually, I had about 30s. Kids come.
Okay, that's
almost
more
like
than
students.
Yeah,
about 30 kids scattered.
They like you, Beth.
Oh,
there's this little kid. she was dressed in all white, and she had a little white piano on the front of her. And the first thing I thought when I looked, I was like, "You're Liberace." But then I thought, and she said something. It was like a recent pop singer. Of course, I don't know. I should have asked you. But she was adorable. And I was almost going to say the parent. I said, "Nice Liberace." Some little kid said, "I love your Peanuts decorations."
Oh, yeah, because you do have the Charlie Brown. That's pretty cool.
I got a couple of good Wednesday Addams.
Of course.
Yeah. I was impressed.
That was big because... I didn't get any of those.
We have a couple of guest panelists today. It's kind of a big deal. Professor Molly Barlow is here with us after many tries.
Hello.
We got you here.
Came back, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. We're very, very glad to have you. Brian, who we'll introduce here in a moment, has set the bar at if you can answer one question, then you're set for the entire year. And I agree with that rubric, like 100%. So it's kind of a big deal.
I got one last time, so I think I'm
okay.
You did.
So you're ready to upgrade to two, frankly. Yeah. That's what I think.
Now, if you can come up with witty, incorrect answers, you're set for the decade.
That's tenure.
True.
That is what we're known for, after all.
That's tenure? Okay.
Give me time.
That's tenure? Oh, my
you
God.
Could probably you could probably take the witty off of there, too.
As previously mentioned, Professor Brian Curtis is here joining us today. Glad to have you here, Brian.
Thank you.
This is the first time ever in the Briggs studio.
It is, yes.
It's kind of a
I've been in Briggs before
deal.
Plenty of times, but of never course. In this studio.
Oh, you've been in the Brig.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you like it here?
A little warm.
It's a little moist.
Cozy.
A little humid.
A little humid.
Tepid.
The temperature is dropping outside, so maybe it'll equilibrate just a little bit. Professor Danielle Maxwell is here today.
Hello.
I needed to make sure I didn't say Maxwell Curtis. It would have been weird.
It would have been weird. I don't go by that very often.
No, you don't, except for on your mailbox.
On my mailbox, and the students that call me Dr. Curtis nonetheless. So.
Oh, jeez. So hell or super hell? Those are your choices.
Super hell this week. I've had so many people ask me about my husband's class, and I don't even know who these people are. And they keep coming to me, and they're like, "Is your husband teaching this class?" And I'm like, "No." And they're like, "Well, can you?" And I'm like, "Still no. No, thank you."
Well, at least they figured you out.
But I don't know who these people are. They just show up at my door, and they're like, "Are you going to teach?"
Randos.
Well, what are you teaching, Brian?
I'm teaching the same organic chemistry class as I'm teaching this semester or next semester. So I'm not going to the next term with the students.
Okay.
So as this being registration week, I got a lot of questions myself, too. So
I bet you did.
When in doubt, scream resonance. That's what I remember about.
Yes.
So true. So
my
true.
My classes are almost closed.
Oh, my
already.
Gosh.
Already?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you receive a brand new edition of the Ask the Professor coffee mug and an autographed photograph of the profs. If you don't stump the panel, we'll still send you the autographed photograph. Send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Dear Matt and profs, I know how your show celebrates holidays, and it makes for a natural topic, but I don't recall your show doing much with Thanksgiving beyond the mention of the WKRP turkey episode.
Oh, yeah.
I know of it now.
Yep.
You watched it?
I watched, parts of it last year. And what, you sent me the whole thing, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I have watched the whole thing. Just kidding. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, that's about to change, and I send you a smattering of questions around Thanksgiving food. These are all questions about that American fruit known as the cranberry.
Mm.
Below are 15 questions on all manner of cranberries. I hope you'll enjoy these questions and use them for a future show, 1, 2, 3, now. Sincerely, our good friend Amber Hubley, who sends these wonderful
thanks,
questions. Yes.
Send more.
All the time. That would be great. What was lawyer, that's an important part of this question, lawyer Marcus L. Uran's contribution to the world of the cranberry? Lawyer Marcus L. Uran, U-R-A-N-N.
Is it a patent?
It is not a patent. That
is
would
a famous
be
case
reasonable. No.
Nope. Cranberries?
Did he make
absolutely
it?
Nothing legal.
You said the lawyer was important.
It is important. That's
okay.
Important to the red herring.
Did he gel it? Is he the first one?
I mean, you're really close.
Oh.
Did he can it?
Canned.
I mean, canning is what it says here. Is the first to actually can them and started a revolution.
Okay, Brian's done.
I'm allowed to stay here and come here again.
First question, you did it.
It comes out of the can as this gelatinous
I can leave, yeah.
It's a loaf.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I said lawyer was important because I was trying to, you know, throw you off, but apparently it wasn't working very well for him.
Didn't know there was, like, secret little tricks now to the questions. That's new.
Oh, there are. There are some secrets.
Okay, then.
Definitely. Why does cranberry sauce naturally wiggle?
Wiggle?
Yeah, it wiggles.
The chemistry.
SI interaction.
Because it has jelly.
Because it's a jelly.
I mean, you're all getting it right. I just haven't heard the name of the pectin? Molecule that wiggles.
There
it's pectin.
Go.
Yeah, exactly. What, yeah. So
leave it to the chemist to give the answer.
Tons of pectin.
That is
absolutely
what Anne Frank's father did.
Pectin?
Really?
What, he jiggled?
With he ran a foodstuff company that sold pectin, and sold jam-making kits.
Yep.
Oh, very cool. Yep.
I know one of the associate deans, formerly biochemist in our college, Liz Roberts-Kirchhoff, she would have tons of blueberries every year. And she would actually make some preserves with and without pectin, because some people like gelatinous and some people want it to just be fruit. You know,
they want the fruit, you know, they want the food to move and not move.
Exactly. You can just buy giant bags of pectin.
So is there
from
a difference
Amazon
between preserves and jelly
there
and
we go
jam?
And jam. Exactly. It's all different. It's all different. How many individual cranberries does it take to make a single can of cranberry sauce?
18.
Oh, they're small.
It's a little bit more than
1,000.
200.
200 is what I heard, and it's spot on. That's what we have exactly right here. 200 individual cranberries.
Way to go.
It happens because of the sweater gives her red cranberry superpowers.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm anticipating one particular question.
Oh, okay. I think it's coming.
I'm ready.
It's coming.
You know the answer to that one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's coming.
Steve, can you just answer it now?
If he doesn't ask it, you should ask it at the end.
Yeah, just get done with.
I'm looking in a Beth-ish direction. What famous Beatles song does John Lennon supposedly and repeatedly mention cranberry sauce at the very end of?
I know the answer to this, actually.
Go, Molly.
All right.
Well, pretty sure it's Strawberry Fields Forever.
Strawberry Fields Forever.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I did not know the answer.
You can hear it in the fade out. It's at the very, very
end. Yeah, where it's supposed to, I buried Paul.
Cranberry sauce.
I would have thought it was Revolution 9 or something. Yeah. You know,
oh, wow.
Somewhere.
We're going to listen to that. End of
the fade out. There you go. Excellent.
All the guests are making us look bad.
I know.
We're getting all the answers. We're just sitting here. I'm a Beatlemaniac. What do you want?
Me too.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, maybe this is getting closer to Professor Manning's want of a question. In what U.S. state is the oldest cranberry bog?
Massachusetts.
It is not Massachusetts.
Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin, absolutely.
Was that your question?
No, it was close to that.
Okay, pretty close.
It was close to that.
So how old is the oldest cranberry bog in the United States of America?
That I do not know.
Oh, okay. Darn.
It's relatively speaking old, but it's not as old as the country. I think that's a little bit.
Wait a minute.
Odd,
when did Wisconsin become
75.
A state?
It's older than 75 years.
100.
It's older than 100 years.
150.
200.
140. All 140 right is what it
sold
says here. So yeah, exactly.
Okay, Wisconsin was the
cranberry bog
in the wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. In the wheelhouse, you got it. In what year did Ocean Spray, one of the largest cranberry-based companies in the United States, form? What year did they form? They're coming up on their 100th anniversary.
So 1925.
You just gave away the answer.
1927.
1920. I haven't heard the correct answer. 1924. 1950. 1923. 1929. No, it's past. 1910. 1926. We're doing the wrong way. No, they're coming up on it. So 1930 was when they were founded. So it's 95 years away.
You said they're coming up on
and
it.
Coming up on it. It's in a few years.
Oh, yeah. 5 years.
You still kind of
it's just not coming up very quickly, apparently.
Look, they have to start planning now for the centennial of the cranberries.
We are planning for our 150th
year. Does
Ocean
Spray have competition?
Well, yeah, a few, but they're the biggest market share.
Yeah.
Which wartime, so that's important, actually important, wartime general ordered cranberries served to his troops as part of their Thanksgiving meal?
Patton.
Andrew Jackson.
Eisenhower.
Truman.
None of what I've heard.
Washington? No.
If I give the year, it'll be obvious, 1864.
Grant.
Ulysses S. Grant said they should be served cranberries, that all American food. Who is the lead singer of the group, The Cranberries?
Dolores O'Riordan.
Dolores O'Riordan.
God rest her soul.
Yes. God rest her. Absolutely. So, someone said the word zombie earlier, and I immediately thought of cranberries.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Rob Zombie.
No. In what Canadian province would Wood find the incorporation of the community of Cranberry?
BC?
It says BC. What, do you just know everything about Canada?
No, because there's always
everything.
New Jersey. How the heck did you know that?
No, because BC's got the oddest names, strangest, weird, wacky names. That's
okay,
all
right.
You know, we're known for weird names.
In general, British Columbia has those names.
Like Kelowna, Sudbury. Sudbury. Yeah. All those other weird
names. Vancouver.
Yeah, Victoria. Yeah.
That's not a weird name.
Got it.
She was a little weird.
Obviously, the University of British Columbia, yes. Very weird name.
Yes, my cousins teach there.
Out of the ordinary. Out of the ordinary. In what city would you find the Cranberry Street Tunnel? I don't know this one.
Cranberry Street Tunnel?
New Massachusetts. No.
I could say that it's out east. That's a good start.
Vermont?
Is it a city?
It's a city.
Oh, you said a city.
What
we're
city
states?
Would you find the Cranberry Street
Tunnel? I was like, I want to make sure,
tunnel.
You know, a city.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Pittsburgh.
I didn't say that.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Nope. Yeah.
Haven't heard it yet.
Portland.
Boston.
Yeah. No.
Lewiston.
Portland. The other Portland.
New York.
New York City is what it says here.
Oh.
Yeah, New York City is the Cranberry Street Tunnel. Okay.
Oh, sure.
I wonder where what it connects.
Go there.
Well, they just elected a communist, so what do you expect?
So excited about that communist.
Isn't it great?
It's so great to have a communist.
I'm sorry.
I got my little red book out.
There was a TikTok this week where the person walked into a bodega and the price tag on everything was -$0.05. And I laughed. It's like, wow, instantly. It's just.
He did it.
And George Santos left. So.
What ingredient added to molten glass makes it cranberry glass? Oh, this is pretty good.
Red dye?
No.
It's actually
like
a
magnesium
mineral.
Or something. Like, come on, chemists, help me out.
Iron.
I was never taught this.
Red mineral.
Our inorganic background was a little shaky.
It's definitely not a red mineral. That's part of the problem. But it turns things
copper?
Red when it mixes.
Iodine.
Oh, iron?
Is it iodine?
It's not.
Nothing. Okay. Turns it red.
Jasper.
What's that one dye thing
good
that
use
you
of
do
the
dipping thing with?
Thank you.
Is that permanganate?
Blood.
Is that the thing?
Purple. Blood.
Yeah, it's like
reddish.
Blood is the blood
of
mineral.
Blood of my enemies.
The blood of your enemies. No, you know what? It's colloidal gold actually turns glass cranberry. Yeah.
All right, I got to go hang on my glass.
Would you have given it to
friends.
Us if we said gold?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Gold salts is what it says here for the chemists.
Gold salt.
As opposed to gold pepper.
Interesting. I think we have to try it out, so I think we need to order some gold salts.
We need to get going. Everybody needs to work on their glass.
Come on, Hank. Come on down.
The Cranberry Glades Botanical Area is in which national forest?
Florida?
I'm actually looking in a Jim Tubbs direction.
North Carolina.
Mm-mm.
Jim?
But
South Carolina.
No.
It's got to be one of the Virginia.
Kentucky. Everglades? Tennessee.
Well, nope, yeah. It doesn't say Everglades.
It's got to be one of you.
Denali.
Where else did you?
If I'm getting this right, it's definitely named after a very, very large eastern river.
Huh?
Starts with the letter M.
Mississippi.
Not Mississippi.
Missouri?
Nope.
What other states are over there? Let's look at the map.
Hudson?
No, Montana's not over there. Just kidding.
Yeah, Montana.
Sorry to put the pressure on you, Jim. I did not mean to.
Over there either.
Mohawk.
Last guess is it's the National Forest in West Virginia, which is named after.
Is that Shenandoah?
Nope.
Virginia.
I already forgot the clue.
The Cranberry Glades Botanical Area is in which national forest? The National Forest of West Virginia it's named after the Monongahela River. Monongahela National Forest.
Okay,
what Canadian province produces the most cranberries? And it's not BC. That should narrow
Ontario
it down.
Ontario or Quebec?
It says Quebec.
Oh, Quebec.
It says Quebec.
One of the two.
Yes. Now, why immediately do you gravitate towards...
Weather-wise, it corresponds with Wisconsin.
Weather,
what
yes.
does a French cranberry look like?
Red.
Has a beret on it?
I don't know.
It has a little beret on it, exactly.
Yeah. With an accent.
It's smoking a Galois.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes well with a baguette.
I can visualize this.
And insulting all the other cranberries.
It smoked cranberries.
In a very specific way. Between 2013... In 2017, what country, became the second largest importer of U.S. cranberries? Now, number one is the European Union. Who's number two?
China.
It's China, absolutely.
My relatives like cranberries?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they
Man,
do.
Man, I didn't know that. I can smuggle some over to them.
They probably put it in their fried rice and you don't even know
I
it.
Probably don't.
It's red to begin with.
True.
Oh, my gosh.
They also have great medical uses.
They really? Do. You do.
Yeah.
They're good stuff.
Antioxidant, right?
I'm so ashamed.
You should be.
Cranberry supplements will help prevent urinary tract.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. It's just interesting. It's always when it's a country. I mean, let's be serious. A country with over 1.5 billion people in it. There's probably some very specific usage. Yeah, more like two. But it's eating, sure. But I bet there's something else going on there too.
Medicinal.
We've seen this question in different forms before, but it is mathematical. Let's see what we can do with it. What percentage of the U.S. cranberry crop is consumed only at Thanksgiving? Oh. What percentage? I'm not even going to give you a clue.
45.
41%.
65.
21%.
37.
It goes straight to Dan. It says 20% here. It's only a fifth of the cranberries are
consumed. So what happens to the rest of it?
Well, somebody's used at Christmas.
Oh, or sent to China.
What happens to the rest of them? Dave's tone of voice was like, I want an accounting of every berry.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they're expired. Or they
a lot of blood donation clinics have cranberry juice and stuff. So.
Do they have turkey and cranberries at Canadian Thanksgiving?
Of course.
Okay.
To Canadian turkeys, or do they import
even though it's in
we'll take anything. We don't check passports.
We saw a wild turkey today. That was pretty exciting.
We did, too.
Yeah.
We have one that hangs around the neighborhood.
English sparrows? Or old,
today, we took a quick walk, and he was just standing right in the middle of the sidewalk. He didn't move. We had to go around him.
They're so dumb. They're so
dumb. I know.
Dumb.
I was like,
yeah, this one was like right next to the road, and it was a very busy road, and I'm like, you're going to die.
We were.
That's why they're said to have pea brains.
That's right. They really do. They have very, very dumb
actually, when you were out of town
birds.
And I went for a run by myself, one chased me.
Oh, when you get a herd started going
herd?
After one
turkeys.
Of them, that is
turkeys.
That is
a turkey
you
chased
want to get
you.
Out
yes,
of the way.
We had a wild turkey in our backyard once. And I look outside. I'm like, is that a turkey? Drew's like, yep.
We had one with us, and I went out like in clapping and stuff, and it came towards me.
Oh yeah, sure.
No, you're supposed to flee.
Thought that you were supposed to
can
be
you fly or something?
On the Halloween night text string in our department, Mark Benvenuto, just FYI, just about half a mile
killed a wild turkey.
East, so 11 and a half in Woodward. It was a whole flock of turkeys going right down the residential side street, Halloween night. We only have a couple minutes left, but the bonus question. So those were all the questions. Ooh. Thank you, Amber. That was great.
Thanks, Amber.
There's a bonus question. Do the professors have any cranberry-related memories? I think we can broaden those borders a little bit. Maybe just go to general Thanksgiving memories with the last couple minutes we have left.
I don't eat them.
You don't eat cranberries.
Really?
It's okay. Just, you don't have to make it cranberry-related as long as it's Thanksgiving.
Okay, I've got a very Detroit-centric one, though.
Oh, of course.
Okay, because Thanksgiving in America is on Thursday. It's the only day that Chinese restaurants ever close.
Oh, I see.
So growing up, my family, Thursday morning, we'd be over in Windsor because over in Windsor, it's Thursday. So every restaurant over there that served dim sum is filled with restaurateurs.
I bet.
So
I
we'd
bet.
Stand in line for hours on end watching food go by, and we're like, you're killing me, Mom and Dad.
Waiting for the food.
And then with dim sum, I know I explained this to Danielle, it's on that day, it's push cart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So my parents would wait. Here's a table that opens up. My parents, no, we'll let that table go. I'm like, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. But my parents would wait for the table closest to the kitchen door.
So
when the food comes out, you get first crack at it.
Absolutely.
So when we do the Ask the Professor dim sum meal, we're getting the table close to the kitchen door.
Absolutely.
Though I think this does bring up the debate on what are sides that are acceptable. I've seen this every year. It's mac and cheese, a side that
is... Of course.
Is,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
It's every year.
Yeah. Is it stuffing? Is it dressing? I mean, how is it used?
It depends on whether you cook it inside the turkey or not.
Outside, 100%. Exactly. Not inside.
I don't know. It all depends. Everything depends.
You can have the stuffing inside, and you can also have the dressing outside.
Yes, you can.
You can
absolutely.
I prefer it inside of me at some point.
Exactly. So. That's only inside.
Yeah.
I think we brought it up a few times. Thanksgiving is a pretty important holiday in Detroit, specifically because we have a very old parade that's one of the oldest in the United States, and it's the day that Santa comes for. No other way to put it, at the end of the parade and kicks off the holiday season, even though that's a joke because I saw my first Christmas commercial in the single digits of October this year. So,
we have a radio station that's for the last 2 days been playing nothing but Christmas music.
That's right. That's
already.
Right.
And the Lions play every Thanksgiving.
And the Lions play every Thanksgiving.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you forgot that.
I can't believe I forgot that because they started playing on this campus, 1934. Mm-hmm. That's sort of coming up on 100 years.
That we can celebrate it. We'll celebrate it. I'll start the committee now.
What are we going to do? Go out there and tackle one of
them? No, we're going to bring Dan Campbell here.
Oh.
We'll do that.
Oh, my gosh. That would be
sweet.
He'd
be a great contestant.
Oh, man. We should get Dan Campbell.
There we go. I'll start. I have 10 years. I'll make it work.
You had to promise him 2 Starbucks large.
I will give him 3.
And 1 for his dog, too.
And the dog.
Exactly. His dog's welcome.
So Thanksgiving memories with a couple minutes to go here, profs. Anything?
Edwin DeWint playing a funeral dirge on his piano when the turkey was brought out.
That's a good
really
memory.
One of my best memories.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious.
So is there like a hearse that goes up Woodward with a turkey inside of it? With
no, Anne, it was Anne came out of the kitchen. With
what
the,
was her response to that?
Well, she laughed, you know, yes, as we all did.
I didn't know Edwin could play the piano.
It surprised me as well.
He could play funeral dirges at least.
Yeah, apparently.
Or chopsticks. Funeral dirge for the turkey.
Wow. That is wild. Yeah, I'm trying to think about, I have a memory of being very, very young, and it's snowing a lot on Thanksgiving. So that would have been mid to late 80s, and having to go and shovel for several hours. That's the way it seemed, by the way. I'm sure it was just about 10 minutes, you know, to get ready for the grandparents coming over for a meal. I know that's kind of odd, but it does snow around here every once in a while on Thanksgiving.
I remember the Thanksgiving, the first time I had turkey deep fried in peanut oil. That was good.
Delicious.
I remember Musa deep frying the turkey here. That was a whole experience.
Oh, yes. There were some raw parts on there.
Crispy on the outside and very moist on the inside.
Yep.
That's like Dan.
Yep.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. Anybody traveling for Thanksgiving this year? It is a pretty big travel day.
Dan, yeah, you
okay. Going to Erie, PA?
Just don't fly.
Taking the yacht over to Erie.
The yacht.
The presidential yacht.
Got skids.
I love it.
Your mom will be delighted to see you in your yacht.
Yes.
The HMS.
I just love how you threw your thumb out. It's like, we're taking the yacht.
I'll be driving.
Where was that?
Well, nobody's on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, that's true. There aren't that many people.
No,
on
there
the
might
road
be a lot of people on the road because the airport's going to be
I drive home every Thursday morning, and if you leave early enough, it's
yeah,
pretty
that's
good.
True.
It takes you about 3.5 hours to get to here.
4.5.
That's not bad. That's like almost going up north.
No.
So you're, you know.
Well, we hope that everybody who has a chance to hear our voices has a very, very wonderful Thanksgiving, but I'm afraid the time has come for us to say goodbye, Danielle.
Gobble, gobble.
Brian.
You have to say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Molly.
Take care, everybody.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Bye.
Jim.
Farewell.
Dave.
See ya.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.